Hey everyone, welcome to the Powerful Podcast Business Talk, where here we talk about both sides of the truth, and nothing is more powerful than the truth. The premise of this podcast is very simple. We're going to go over various business issues, but rather than give you a one-sided slant on a particular issue, we're going to give you both sides, then we'll tell you our opinion, and then you decide. I think too much of the media right now is one-sided. Whatever they agree is what they want you to believe. And so we want a fair and unbiased opinion. And what I want to give you, the listeners, the power. We also want to give you information in business that is fun, direct, to the point in a world where there's so much misinformation, so much fake news out there as well. My name is JT Fox. I'm a serial entrepreneur and the world's number one wealth and business coach. We have clients in 87 different countries, over 26,000 clients, and I am personally in 53 different countries. I used to have a self-syndicated international show in the US and Canada and quit for a long time. And about 5 years ago, and decided to relaunch this after the frustrations, to be honest, of listening to a lot of podcasts, and there's be a lot of fluff, a lot of misinformation or things I've heard before as well. Now, normally I have my co-host, the powerful Francie Baldwin, aka The Pack, who's also my CEO, but I'm in Auckland, New Zealand, and I've been traveling almost in a different country every single day. Believe it or not, I was in America, Israel, Auckland. I'm in Australia tomorrow. I was in Japan a week ago, Europe, New York, back and forth. And so we're having a little time zone issues. So I figure I would do the show. Normally it's me and her going back and forth. And so I'll do a show and then she is going to do the next show today. So you'll have two shows in a short amount of time. If you miss her, then you'll hear her. And who knows, maybe you like her version better than mine. And if you like hers, then I don't have to do this podcast anymore. But we're going to get straight to it here. The first topic we're going to talk about is WeWork. We've been talking a lot about WeWork extensively, and it looks like a deal was done. SoftBank, which was the major shareholder who put in a lot of money at a valuation of over $45 billion, the whole WeWork absolutely imploded. And now SoftBank has taken an 80% share, our controlling stake, into WeWork, and they paid out the founder, Newman, $1.6 billion with, I believe, a consulting fee of $150 to $200 million. They basically paid him to go away, and they bought in at a valuation of $5 to $8 billion. What a fall from... Literally, you're talking about $46 billion to what was going to be one of the hottest IPOs to a complete disaster. Now, don't feel sorry. I mean, this fund, SoftBank, has over $100 billion, and I'm sure they'll survive just fine. But you have a lot of companies like Uber and now WeWork. They're not worth what they're worth. And so on one side, for have you know, the founder is still going to be on the board, but he's going to have really a non-voting role, a non-view, probably just more ceremonial. For them to give him $1.6 billion to go away, there must have been a lot of problems. There is no question about it. I think a former assistant, chief of staff of him, just filed a lawsuit a few days ago claiming that he smoked marijuana on his plane and she was subjected to all kinds of things. And so on one side, you know, sometimes in these situations, I mean, there's a TV show called The Prophet on CNBC. And when he takes over businesses, the problem with many of these businesses is the owner. And when you're trying to work with existing people, you have a lot of problems. So SoftBank probably just said it is better to just get rid of this person and move on than have and keep having him there and creating that fight as well. So on one hand, if you were SoftBank, would you just pay him to go away? They obviously have the money and start fresh. And on one side, you know, can we feel sorry for the founder? He just walked away with $1.6 billion up front, plus a consulting fee, plus I think they bought him out $6 million for the name We. And let's just say, you know, I would not feel sorry. This whole thing really sounds like a giant Ponzi scheme. I know it's not, but there's been some very big adverses with one of the places I live in Chicago and all around the world. They had redone, one of the developers was redoing the old post office, which is a vacant building. It was a massive one. WeWork was going to be, take a majority of that building. They had become actually one of the largest tenants in Chicago, right along with Boeing and United. And now they've had to stop a lot of these agreements. WeWork had to lay off a lot of people. As we said in the previous show, they were losing 220 to $222,000 an hour. It sounds like they just kept pumping money. They had watched the numbers. It was a pump and pray. And this whole thing is a disaster. And there are a lot of business lessons for all of you to be learned here as well. But then once you might argue, the guy walked away with $1.6 billion, but there's a lot of investors that are going to get hurt, a lot of owners of buildings who thought they had deal with WeWork. But as I've said before, the WeWork didn't have anything really proprietary. It was just like, let's take office space and let's convert it and sublease the space. And so there's really nothing proprietary. It's not like it was a technology. A lot of big property tycoons sounded the alarm. But at the end of the day, I want to be very careful. We're passing a lot of judgment on the founder and his marijuana use and in the plane and the way he was and how he managed. But at the end of the day, he did take this company to 40 plus billion or 5 to 8 billion, whichever you want to take a look at. He is now a billionaire. He must have done something right. We're quick as a society to attack people. We don't know the whole story. We know the story that a lot of the media has reported. We know that the company is not worth what it's worth. Is that so much a due diligence of SoftBank, the company who should have made their due diligence? I mean, how do you think a company is worth over $45 billion and all of a sudden is worth 5 to 8 billion? And this is supposed to be one of the biggest funds in the world. They've invested in Uber. Uber has gone down. So does the founder of the SoftBank, Masayoshi Son, I believe his name is. Does he not have the golden touch? Can they afford to make mistakes? It's a lot of money to have put it in there as well. So now the turnaround is going to be very, very interesting as well. They took the team from Sprint and they moved them over to there. So that is going to be a very interesting thing. The Sprint, telecom company in America, they took a lot of people there who turned it around and applied it to WeWork. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot of money. Everybody's going to be watching. It's rule, like Warren Buffett says, rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never lose money. And so it seems to be in this market economy that it's acceptable to lose money. But you take a look like companies like Warren Buffett, they're stable. In fact, on a side note, Warren Buffett is sitting on $183 billion in cash. Apple sitting over 200 plus billion dollars in cash. And so there's a lot of companies sitting on the sidelines, waiting to pounce for some kind of downturn and opportunity. I believe that SoftBank, the company out of Japan, had no choice. They had to go in. They had to go in and they had to make their mark here. And they had to cover their position. They couldn't afford for branding purposes to walk away. There was a lot of money at stake. They have to save face. There's a lot of implications. They've got a lot of money from very big, powerful people. So all in all, this thing is a giant fiasco. And some people won, some people lost big time. And so this is a ongoing continuing story as well. So great, a lot of business lessons there. I actually really like talking about WeWork because we not working. That's what I'm going to say. Second story I want to go over is the one of the largest LVMH, the CEO Bernard Arnault, who's the company, the French billionaire. Who's worth $102 billion had shortly passed over Bill Gates. So it's like a musical chair. You have Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and you had him, and he came in second place. He beats Gates, but then Gates beat Bezos, and then Bezos underneath. Bezos, Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO, took a big hit, $34 plus billion dollars, largely because of his divorce settlement with his wife as well. But this company, which owns Louis Vuitton And a lot of the brands out there, I'd like Tag and Remorois, Berluti. They own like 70 plus brands. And what they did is they are looking at buying Tiffany's for a very large amount as well. So, on one hand, the big companies are gobbling up these bigger companies. You have a lot of consolidation, and you have to take a look at it. We're at the height of the market. If we look at in the early 2000s, when the economy started dipping a little bit, a few years later in the China crackdown and corruption and money and wealth, these luxury brands have took a very big hit. But if you really take a look, I mean, this is a man who is worth 102.4 billion dollars. He is 70 years old. He's got five children, and he's the one of the richest men in France. And he's done a really good. I mean, his revenue alone in 2018, he's got about 70 companies. He got Christian Dior, Louis Vuitton. They own Dom Perignon, the champagne. So they own a lot of cool stuff. And his 70 plus brand combined for 53 billion in revenue. This proving to you, I always tell people, is your business a luxury or a necessity? The luxury market continues to grow and grow and grow. And so it is really crazy to see that this is a man who really started with nothing. And he really, he's got five children. And is a man that saw something that nobody kind of knew what was going to happen. He saw luxury before it even happens. In 2018, they bought Dom Perignon for as well, so the champagne company. And it's very interesting to see how whether on one side, I mean, is this a good idea? Is this the right time to buy? Some people might say, well, it's a little bit unfair. All these big companies are gobbling up, but that's capitalism. I think the minute we start telling companies they can't buy things, that's capitalism. I mean, listen, if Amazon wants to buy everything, God bless. But this is very interesting because, a side note about this is that what's happening right now is people are paying top dollars for premium brand. And that's what Warren Buffett was telling, how he was very skeptical, is people are paying premium for great brands. It's like there was a time where people went into distressed brands and they turned them around, but now people are buying premium brands that are already doing well, and they're paying a premium on top of that as well. And so it's very interesting how the effects of the market and what's happening right now to the consolidation. This is a proof. The rich keep getting richer while the poor keep getting poorer, because the rich people know how to invest. They know how to grow. They know how to put their assets, and they take risks. I mean, just take a look at, just on a side note, everyone thought that Google was crazy to have paid $900 million for YouTube. YouTube is well worth over $100 billion, from what I understand. When Mark Zuckerberg paid $1 billion for Instagram, everyone went crazy. Instagram is worth anywhere between $15 to $35 billion, maybe even more if you talk about it. That's going to talk about to be like one of the great acquisitions in there as well. So, also what's very interesting is this man has had a long-standing feud with François Pinault, the second richest man. He's worth about $34.3 billion. And that's the French luxury brand Kering that owns Gucci, Yves Saint Laurent, and Christie Auction House. Well, what was very interesting is that both of these men, sort of when the church kind of burnt down, they kind of went at it to trying to raise funds. And I guess this second man, they both pledged, one pledged $300 million, the other one pledged $100 million. But from what the report's saying is that they still have not seen 1 cent of the second man. So I believe the Arnault family like pledged $200 million, $218 million for the cathedral, and the other guy has yet to pay a cent of his 100 million plus pledge. So, which is very, very interesting in how it is. So you have to think about strategic consolidation right now, And on the other side, do you find it fair? I mean, is these companies are just gobbling up these companies at a record pace. But what it is, it's what we talk about building the ecosystem. Apple got Beats because Beats fits into their ecosystem. They could distribute it. These guys already have a luxury. So if you're buying a Louis Vuitton bag, makes sense to buy the champagne. Makes sense to buy the watch. And so what this is what this is called is intentional congruence. Everything is interconnected. So it's very interesting to see what's happening right now. I always tell people, are you a luxury or are you a necessity in the market? Well, it sounds like the luxury is still a necessity for a lot of people. And so for any of you who think about global meltdown, global recession, a lot of companies are sending a lot of cash. And here's the thing you need to understand, they're going to be in a recession. There needs to be three negative quarters. We have not seen three negative quarters. Even South Africa, who had gone into a recession about a year ago, they're back out of the recession as well. And a lot of people, like, the recession is sometimes a scarier word. It's, the definition of a recession is three negative sort of growth consecutive month or very limited growth as well. So sometimes it's not as bad as people think. America's enjoying some of the record lowest unemployment ever. They added 108,000 jobs, and that's considering the GM strike. Those people were considered having jobless. So the American economy is doing very well. The world economy is doing very well. It's harder than ever finding quality people as well. So, those are very interesting facts that are happening in the world today, right now, as we see it. So another thing that just came under the wire is that the CEO of McDonald's in the UK got fired for having a consensual relationship with somebody in the company, a consensual sexual relationship, married father of three. This is a man who was making 50.3 million pounds a year, so it's a lot of money. So let's take a look at the on both sides of this issues. If there is a consensual relationship between a CEO or upper level management, from what I've researched on this, this was not a high level person. This was just a normal staff member. This wasn't a high level executive. Do you think if it is a consensual relationship within office that does not affect the status of the company, should someone get fired from that? And so on one side, we could argue that, number one, there's an abuse of power in the age of sexual harassment, Me Too movement. Public companies, have to be more wary than ever. And, they have to keep up appearance. McDonald's is a family restaurant, and this is not very friendly. And then on the other side, this has been admitted to be a consensual relationship. And from what I have read and I understand, okay, we don't know all the details because obviously McDonald's hasn't released it, that there was no quid pro quo. It's not like this person got promoted or got any special perks because they had a sexual relationship as well. And so on the other hand, I mean, I just saw the documentary with Bill Gates. Bill Gates dated his wife while she worked at Microsoft. He was the owner, and she was just starting out at Microsoft, close or less. And clearly, they ended up getting married at the end. Obviously, this man was married with three kids, but we don't know what the status of his relationship. Were they together for appearances? Did they have an agreement? They can do whatever they want. I mean, there's a lot of factors that we don't know. And so, but the question is, in this day and age, had this happened at McDonald's 5, 10 years ago, it probably would have been okay. But today, it's all about appearances. I'm sure that what happened is there was a whistleblower, someone rat him out. And of course, now in this age where everybody has to be kind of very careful, it's the reality of the world that lives through into the corporate world. Now, if you own your own company yourself, I guess you can do whatever it is you want. But this is a $1 billion, one of the biggest brands in the world. And it just goes to show how different the world we live in today. You know, we said this before in previous show, like every Halloween costume you've ever had could now be considered racist, even though at the time may not have seen racist. Everything's about appearances. I mean, even I today, like when I take pictures with everyone, I put my pictures in my hands. I was telling somebody that I get sent all kinds of pictures every day. People send me text messages all day that, you know, it doesn't bother me at all, but, you know, would be seemed inappropriate on the surface. Now, if I had sent those same text messages unsolicited to people, God forbid that would make the news and that would be great in the disparity of power and taking advantage. It is the reality of the world we live in. What's very interesting about this point is that this happened in the UK. So a lot of these kind of things have been happening in the United States of America because we love this Jerry Springer type drama. This is now spilling into the European nation. And for me, a lot of things that I talk to in America, people in Germany are like, we don't care about that. Like people go in the office and saunas naked together. I'm serious. Like these countries are, everybody's naked in the sauna. And I'm putting my towel on. They're like, oh, why is your towel on there? Because I don't want to seem like, I'm like, I don't want nobody to see me naked. People are just walking around. So it's very interesting what is happening with the with the culture in there. So I you know, the surprising thing to me is that this happened in the UK, in Europe, where they seem to be more liberal about these types of things and not seem to care as much. And so is this the future, what we're about to see, a beginning of a trend? Or is this because even though it's in the UK, it's an American company, it's McDonald's, it's considered a family brand. They had to do something on there. What's interesting is that this CEO had led McDonald's to a very big turnaround in the UK. So, you know, the problem was that this was consensual. And so I don't know what you think and how you feel about it. You know, whether he was married or not married or had kids or what agreement had his spouse, it was, you know, consensual. But then again, is it in the laws of the corporate bylaws as a CEO, as a responsibility to set the example? But the word is consensual. So I'm not sure what you think. I think this is, there's issues on both sides. Depends where you are. You know, on one hand, you put yourself on McDonald's thing. Also, too, is it the fact that McDonald's didn't like him and wanted him out, and they use this as an excuse as it, you know what I mean? That maybe he had worn up his welcome. We don't know. And there's a lot of factors to go in there. But bottom line, this is what happened. But I think as you can see, there's a lot of things we can talk about. There's a lot of different things that we can really speculate as to the nature of what happened and why it happened as well. Listen, there's always two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. And the job of at least this show, because we don't know all the truth. We know one side of the truth. We know the truth that was released. I'm trying to give both perspective, and also too, in our businesses, it ever happened to you. So that's kind of what happened here. On that situation. The last story we're going to talk about is China and America may have come into a tentative deal to resolve their tariffs, or at least in the beginning, because obviously it's not good for America to sort of let this go into Trump into the election, although he did take the terrorists down, the head of ISIS, although most people, he wasn't as a big name symbolically. Everyone knew Osama bin Laden. Not everyone knew who he was. Interestingly enough, everyone made a big fuss when Osama bin Laden died, and nobody really made a fuss about this guy, even though he's the head of ISIS, which I would argue is a bit more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, although Al-Qaeda was successful with 9/11, and maybe because it was more symbolic in New York City and things like that, and Osama bin Laden was a symbol of evil. But it didn't really make a lot of waves, and President Trump didn't really get a lot of credit for it. And so it looks like they may have agreed. They're trying to roll back. China's economy is kind of hurting over this as well. So I think it's in best both interests. Again, it's about saving face. But what's interesting is that there's other economies that are benefiting from this situation with China. Don't forget, there's winners. And one of the winners is Thailand, who's the Thai baht, has been up 6% to the US dollars because people have gone to Thailand to try to go for cheaper, and they benefited. Also, the Nikkei in Japan is having record growth, record profits on the strength of the currency and the earnings and their economy as well. So there's a lot of other Asian countries. The disruption in Hong Kong has led to a lot of people moving their money to Singapore as well. Singapore being another safe haven, kind of like Hong Kong. I think Hong Kong is more well known, but in other parts, Singapore is well known. So listen, every time there's consequences, and I think the lesson to all of you here to end this podcast here today, and if you're interested in the next one, it'll just be the pack by herself, is to understand is that every time there's a bad situation, there are other players who benefit. And so in the business, take a look at who stands to benefit in this particular war, this particular disruption or interruption, and that's one way to sort of get involved and hedge your bets or profit from these adverse consequences. But in the end, people thought it was the end of the world and people are China and America to go attack. Listen, there's always a solution at the end of the day because it's in their best interest. People need to put their greed, their pride, and their ego on the side. And only that way we are going to become a better society. So that's it for the show. A couple things in the end. If you'd like to see me live at one of my events anywhere around the world for free, literally, we are in 53 countries, 300 plus cities around the world. It's jtfox2xlive.com, jtfox2xlive.com. And if you want my book and find out my stories, how I went from nothing to build a nine-figure empire, started only with $974, over 50 companies and brands all over the world, go to millionaireunderdog.com. My book literally has 1,304 ideas, literally step by step, how I did it all. Marketing, branding, business growth, millionaireunderdog.com. So hopefully you enjoy. Please share this podcast. Please comment on it. I love to get feedback on what you guys like or don't like. A longer format, shorter format. So this is, we cut it down from an hour. We tried 15 minutes. Now I'm doing 30 because I had a lot of good topics here as well. So if you miss my wonderful co-host, Pac, aka Francie, listen to the next one. It's all her. She'll do her version as well. And who knows, maybe you like each of us to do our own versions. Maybe you like us together, but either way, we're testing new things because we want to put the truth out there, some great content as well. So have yourself a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. I know you have a lot of choices out there. Please tell others, spread the word. Let's grow this together to the next level. See you later.